I want to talk to you this morning on the topic, why not ascend with him? Why not ascend with Jesus? You know, today is the Feast of the Ascension, and we acknowledge that our Lord was taken up into the cloud by a cloud up into the glory of heaven. And I want to just say a few things about the actual ascension and then return to the question that we have before us this morning. Now, first of all, just a few references or reminders of the scriptures that relate to this event of the great ascension of our Lord going up into heaven. And just first of all, I want you to imagine the glory of that moment. It says here in the text that as they, the apostles, were looking on, Jesus was lifted up in a cloud, and the cloud took them from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going. Now, come on, church. Try to be there yourself and imagine what that moment must have been like. You know, we read these texts, but stop for a minute and just imagine the glory of that moment as the Lord is just simply taken up and up into glory, and they stand there looking intently, can't get their eyes off the event as they look up. So much so that even after he'd gone out of sight, they kept looking. They kept looking. And finally, an angel has to come and say, "Men of Galilee, now come on, man. He gave you a mission." And he simply says here, "Why do you stand looking up into the sky? Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you've seen him go up into heaven." And so that day it says they returned rejoicing to Jerusalem on what they had seen. And they waited 9 days for the Holy Spirit to come upon them as the Lord had promised. And then he would send them forth. By the way, some of you have heard of a concept we have in the Catholic Church called a novena. A novena. And a novena means a period of prayer of 9 days. That word novem in Latin means nine. And where does that tradition of praying for 9 days for something come from? And it comes from this, that the apostles were told to remain in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. And then, after 9 days, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they went out, and the rest is history. But again, that period of waiting and asking for 9 days, the novena, is the tradition in the church that comes from that. Now, but I want you to know that behind the scenes of the ascension is also a wonderful reality that Scripture pulls back the veil on just a little. Because as Jesus goes up into glory, he doesn't go alone. Listen from what the Scripture says in the 4th chapter of the Ephesians. It says, when Jesus ascended, he led on high with him a host of captives and gave gifts to men. What does it mean in saying he ascended, but that first he descended to the lower realms of the earth? And he who descended is also the one who has now ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, do you understand what takes place? As Jesus, remember, after he died on Good Friday, he went down among the dead. And he didn't just sleep there. He woke him up. He woke up the dead and preached a word to them. There's a beautiful line in the 1st or 2nd century sermon from a North African bishop. And it simply says that Jesus went to Adam and Eve. And he said to them, the beautiful line, he said, "Arise, O sleepers, for I who am your Lord, out of love for you, have become your son." A beautiful lie. And so the Lord, if you will, goes and wakes up the dead. He preached a word to them. And those who would accept this word, he said, just wait. In 40 days, I'll be back. And then, as Jesus ascends, again, the text says, when he ascended, he took with him a whole host, an army, in other words, of those who had been captives. And he took them with him into glory. Are you praying with me? You're looking a little sleepy out there this morning. Church, he takes a whole army of saved souls into glory with him. And the gates of heaven swing wide open. And that beautiful psalm, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. And again, the great gates of heaven come open. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And they're singing at that moment. And there is this great psalm that they sing, that God mounts his throne to shouts of joy and a blare of trumpets for the Lord. Oh, you people, clap your hands and shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, the King over all the earth, has triumphed. And God reigns over the nation, and God takes his seat on his holy throne. That was our psalm today. And so you see again this great going up of Christ into heaven. I also have it on the best of authority. They were singing some gospel songs. They were singing, I'm so glad. And all those captives that went with them, I'm thinking of Adam and Eve, and I'm thinking of folks like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Samuel and David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Rebecca and all these holy men and women who were waiting for the Lord. Now he leads them into heaven. And I have it on the best of authority that they were singing some gospel songs. They were singing, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. They were singing that old song, Your love, Lord, is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Now you said, Pastor, that is not a gospel song. I just tell you, I have it on the best of authority. They were singing it. They were also singing again, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love came and woke me up and lifted me, snatched me out of the raging waters and lifted me on high. And so I just want you to see that today's Feast of the Ascension is not like, oh yeah, he went up to heaven and they looked and then they went back to Jerusalem. Please understand the beauty and the glory of this moment as our Lord goes up on high. Now, I want to return then to the question that I asked you. Why not ascend with him? Too many Christians, I'm afraid, suffer from what I would call arrested spiritual development. Arrested development. That is to say, they haven't really changed much in their faith since they were a kid, maybe fourth or fifth grade. They learned a few prayers, and that's about it. And they come to church, praise the Lord, but it's kind of a routine thing. But brothers and sisters, we're supposed to be ascending with Jesus and getting higher and higher every day. You know that old gospel song says, we're climbing Jacob's ladder, and every round goes higher and higher. It's not just talking maybe about a musical round, but think of a spiral staircase. And we keep going up that staircase, and every round goes higher and higher. And at times there may seem to be a kind of a monotony. Oh yeah, we had the same feast last year. I remember when we had, you know, and it kind of goes around in cycles. But I pray with you that every time we come back around to this feast or to Christmas or Easter, that we're one level higher. That is the normal Christian life, to be growing in our faith and getting higher and higher with the Lord, to becoming more joyful, more serene, more knowledgeable, more rejoicing. We're seeing sins put to death, and on it goes. To be growing into the full maturity of Christ within us. Ascending, if you will, with him. So let me read to you a few lines from the second reading we heard today. It's from the first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, and it's describing the normal Christian life. Paul says, "May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him." Now, first of all, notice the appeal to our minds. Wisdom is not book knowledge. Wisdom is that knowledge and understanding of God that the Holy Spirit pours into our heart and mind. And the simplest, most uneducated people in the world, by worldly standards, can have wisdom. In fact, I've known some folks that knew too much intellectually, and they lost their wisdom. Now, I'm not going to say that going and getting a good college education is not a good thing. I'm just going to tell you that don't confuse wisdom with book knowledge. The Lord wants to pour into our mind as a gift the capacity to know who he is more and more every day. Do you know the Lord today better than you did a year ago or 10 years ago? I'm going to say I'm a witness. I've come a mighty long way in my knowledge of who God is. And it says here, may the Lord give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation means to unveil, to pull back the veil. You and I might have heard about God when we were a little child and we thought about an old man with a beard on a big starry throne. And that's a good place to begin. But I hope that you've advanced a little in that. I've come to know my Heavenly Father and his love for me, of his power, of his gentleness and his kindness, but also of his power to save. Oh, I've come to know my Heavenly Father in such a more intimate and personal and powerful way in my life. And it's taken years of prayer and revelation. But little by little, God is pulling back the veil. And I'm beginning to know him and understand him more and more. And my Lord Jesus is showing me more and more who he is and what he's really done for me. It's finally beginning to dawn on me that Jesus Christ died for me. Do you understand the love? Do you understand the power of that act? And again, year by year, if you ponder these mysteries, the Lord wants to both deepen our faith and help us to ascend one level higher every year. Now, the text goes on to say, not only about our mind and our heart, but it says, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know the hope that belongs to his call and the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the holy ones. Now look, there's so many things here. Every one of them is a sermon all by itself. And you know me, I could do it. But listen, the eyes of your heart. Are you seeing things you never saw before? Are you beginning to see glory and wonder, even in ordinary moments? One of the gifts that God has given me in recent years, as a result of more contemplative prayer, is that I walk out and I see the magnificence and the beauty of creation like I've never seen it before. And I just walk about and I say, thank you, Lord. And I see the wonder and the beauty of human beings and all of you and how strange and quirky we can be and yet how gifted and how wonderful. Oh, church, just those little wonders from moment to moment to have our eyes opened. Those little miracles that we pay no attention to. Every beat of your heart is a sign from God of love. Do you see, to have our eyes open, to see new wonders, new glories, as you read the Word of God, to see new insights? This is the normal Christian life. Not just to be going back to what I learned when I was in fourth grade, but now to be alive and having new insights, new glories being revealed to me. So the text says not only will our eyes be opened, but it says that we may also know the hope that belongs to his call. Now this word know, K-N-O-W, doesn't just mean intellectual knowing. The Greeks had a word for that, but that's not the Greek word here. The Greek word here is gnosko, which means to experientially know. And I'll just say here, the text says again, and I'm going to change the word to experience. May you experience what is the hope that belongs to his call. Church, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God more than I ever did before. And because of that, I'm a man of hope, who even when I face challenges and wonder, how am I going to get all that done, I don't worry too much anymore. I just know that God has a way of seeing me through. Church, how about you? You see, again, as we grow in our faith, our hope, our confidence, our trust are meant to grow. Why not ascend with Jesus? Let him work with you with hope and trust and confidence in what he can do in your life. The text says, not only may you know the riches, not only may you know the hope that belongs to his call, but may you also know the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the holy ones. The riches of his glory. Again, I want to just say, God's helping me here. You know, so often we think that what I really want is a new iPad or a new car. But more and more in my life, the most precious thing to me is the glory of my God and the glory to which I've been summoned. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. I can't wait to see God in all of his glory. And the Lord is putting a yearning and a longing in my heart for eternal things, for heavenly things. Have you begun to experience the riches of God's glory? I'll just say this. When I was a young man, I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to sing. Now you can't stop me from singing, and can't stop me from going to church. And what I value has changed. And so again, my riches are increasingly with God and the things of God. And it goes on finally to say, I won't go on forever here, but I want you to know it says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, not only will the eyes of our heart be enlightened that we may know the hope that belongs to his call and the riches of his glory and his inheritance among the Holy One, but also that we may know and come to experience the surpassing greatness of his power. The power of God in our life. The power of God to put sin to death and to bring joy and confidence and change and transformation alive. The power of God to draw us up to higher things. Have you seen God's power at work in your life? And you know, God's power isn't always manifest through big thunder and lightning stuff. In fact, more often, just in the simple, quiet way that God works things out. He just has a way of making a way out of no way. And that even in failure comes success. Perfect example is hanging on the wall right behind me, the cross of Jesus. That there is, even in failure and in struggle and in pain, there comes forth new life. That's God's power, church. Sometimes it is in the magnificent ways, but often in those quiet and even surprising ways that God's power just works on through. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to just say, why not ascend with Jesus? Why not let him just continue to give us a new mind and a new heart and to open our eyes to new glory? Why not allow the Lord to, in every way, wake us up to the power of his glory at work within our life and to give us revelation and new insights and new joy and new confidence and new hope and new priorities? That's what it means to ascend with the Lord. One day we'll be in heaven with him. One day we're going to go to a place where all the glory and all the joy will be ours, and nothing will ever overshadow it. But for now, we're making that long, steady climb. And every round, church, goes higher and higher. Ascend with Jesus. I want to just finish with a little story from the news. Most of you know that Donna Summer died on, I think it was Friday. And, you know, I'm a man of my age. I'm 50, and I do remember back in high school trying anyway to cut a rug to lots of Donna Summer songs. And I won't say that her songs were particularly spiritually edifying, at least at that stage. But I will say this, that I was very moved to hear some years ago that Donna Summer had had a conversion and given her life to Jesus. And when I heard about her death, I went to look up some of the interviews, and in one of her concerts, she gave a testimony of how she had given her life to Jesus. And she said in that concert, she said, "I want you to know that my life is being changed because of Jesus." And in another interview I saw, she simply talked about how once she had come to know the Lord, that her heart and her mind began to change, and she had different priorities, and the things she used to value fell away, and other things took their place, higher things, more edifying things. And she said, "I began to sing new and different songs, and I began to discover who I was." What is she talking about? Just what I'm talking about. She was ascending with Jesus. And she said, "I don't disavow my past. I didn't do terrible things in the past." But she said, "Now that I've come to know Jesus, I see things differently. Now that I've come to know Jesus," she said in that interview, I've come to understand things and to have different priorities and have different things that I like. And my life is richer and more open." And she was describing that new life and that ascending life that the Lord offers all of us. So I do ask you to pray. There are several things you might not know about Donna Summer. Maybe one of them was that she had given her life to Jesus. I think the year was about 1980 or 1981, she says it was. And I don't know if you know this, she spoke fluent German. Did you know that? She had spent several years in Germany, and she could speak German fluently. But also, her brother-in-law is a Catholic priest. And her husband, his brother, is a Catholic priest in Father Benedict Rochelle's order up in New York, the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. So again, I just say to you, though, lift her up in prayer. Because isn't that really the goal in our life? That we come to know Jesus, and that we see our life being changed, and that we begin to testify and draw others to that same life. And every round, every year of our life goes higher and higher. And that was her experience. And now I pray the Lord has taken her up to the fullest height, and that she too could sing all those beautiful gospel songs. Thank you, Lord, for lifting me higher, higher every day. So again, church, I ask you, today's the Feast of the Ascension. Why not ascend with Jesus? Amen.